Well, last week we started our Christmas series that we're calling Songs of Joy, and every week we're featuring a different great Christmas song, Christmas carol. And now we're not going to be preaching about the Christmas carol because that's not what we do here at Bethel Church. We preach the Bible. But we're highlighting these carols because these carols are so rich in teaching and theology. In fact, before I came to Christ, it was singing Christmas songs that planted seed in my heart that would eventually lead to my salvation. So I grew up in basically a secular home, but my parents really believed in some Christmas traditions. And one of those traditions was every year, two nights before Christmas, we would go and spend the evening with my very, very Norwegian grandmother, Elsie Olsen. And my grandmother Olsen would make these incredible Norwegian goodies for us, and then also some Norwegian things that weren't so good for kids, you know, but we had to eat them anyway, you know, things like pickled herring and things like that. But we would, you know, we would gladly let Grandma pour out her love and blessing on us. And then the night before Christmas every year, our family tradition is we would drive around and look at Christmas lights, and then we would come back home, and our family would gather together. Now, there were nine of us. There were six kids, my parents, and my grandmother lived with us. So the nine of us would gather around and sing Christmas songs, and my parents actually had printed lyrics of all the different Christmas songs. And so we would gather around the Christmas tree and we would sing these Christmas songs. And singing these Christmas songs planted seed in my heart because I was asking questions like, who are we singing about here? Who is this Jesus? You know, what is this story? And it was those seeds of truth. And, you know, God will use all kinds of things to bring us into a relationship with him. But God actually used these Christmas songs to speak into my heart before I knew anything really about the gospel. And so we're featuring a different Christmas song each week. This week we're talking about this song, O Holy Night, O Holy Night. This is a great song, not just in terms of the music, but the lyrics are so deep. I just want to read a couple of the verses from O Holy Night. And what we see here is the lyrics to this song draw us to the vastness and the greatness of what Christ accomplished when he came into the world. O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. This is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Wow. Wow. You want to know what you're worth? You just think about Jesus coming to the world to purchase your salvation. Yeah. A thrill of hope. The weary soul rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Truly he has taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother. And in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we. Let all within us praise his holy name. Man, that is powerful, powerful stuff. I think for the most part, I know this is true in the world, but I think it's even true in the world that we have really completely underestimated the fullness and greatness of what Christmas is all about. The scripture that Val read this morning from Galatians gives us such an amazing perspective on Christmas. So we have the birth stories that give us the historical perspective of Christ's birth in Matthew and Luke. But now here in Galatians, which is actually written several decades after the birth of Christ, the Apostle Paul is looking back and he's teaching the Galatians about the meaning of Christ's coming. And he does that by starting off with an explanation of of this is what it was like spiritually before Christ came. And here's how he describes it in verse 3. We were in slavery. We were in slavery before Christ came. We were in slavery. In slavery to what? To the elemental spiritual forces of the world. Wow. And that's huge. Paul isn't saying, it was really nice that Jesus came because now we know how much God loves us and now we can go to heaven. And all of that's true. But Paul's saying, wow, I want you to grasp this. This is what it was like before Jesus. We were actually slaves to the elemental spiritual forces of the world. So this is a spiritual BC and AD. This is what life was like before Christ and how things have changed because of Christ. And so to help the Galatian believers understand what Christ accomplished for them, he wants them to see how desperate things really were. Okay? Now, we can think of this scripture in terms of three groups of people. First of all, we can think of it in terms of the people that Jesus actually was born to, right? Those first century Judeans and Galileans. We can think of it also, though, in terms of the people that Paul is writing this letter to a few decades later. But also, we need to think of this scripture in terms of what it means today, okay? So let's consider these three groups of people. Consider, first of all, the people that Jesus was born amongst. They were, first of all, under a lot of oppression. They were under political oppression from the Romans. They were also under economic oppression. They were in a corrupt economic system that was causing the rich to get richer and the poor to get poorer. They were also living under religious oppression because the religious leaders of Jesus' day had become corrupt with power and wealth and compromise with the Roman government. And I think this is good for us to remember that Jesus, he came to set us free not only from the obvious things that we think of, but Jesus also came to set us free from oppressive, controlling, dead religion. Amen? And he came to bring life. So all this oppression is going on when Jesus was born in Judea. But underlying all of that, I think it's important for us to remember that our real enemy is not flesh and blood, but there was a spiritual oppression. We were in slavery to what Paul calls the elemental spiritual forces of the world. Okay? So this is not only what we would think of in terms of a world philosophy, an anti-God worldview, but there's actual demonic forces at work in our world, right? And notice, Paul says we were in slavery. So Paul is saying, I was a part of this too. So Paul is talking about an oppression that was not just the Galatians and not just the people Jesus was born to, but an oppression that covers the whole world. We, all of us, were under this oppressive, elemental, spiritual forces of the world. So as the gospel began to be preached and go throughout the Roman Empire, it confronted all kinds of darkness and pagan superstitions and idolatry. So Paul writes a few verses later to the Galatians, verse 8, formerly when you did not know God, says you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods, right? So this was a pervasive spirit. And in the book of Romans, Paul gives a little more detail and talks about the spiritual historical background of all of this. Romans 1:25 says, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. And in verse 21, their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, you might be thinking at this point, Pastor Tim, I came to church this morning expecting a nice Christmas message. All right, hold on. We'll get there. I promise. But I had to start here this morning because I know that for many of us, we are heavy-hearted about what we see in our world today, right? And so it's important for us to understand where this is coming from. There's a lot of incredible memes out there about 2020. Here's one I just picked out for this morning. If 2020 were a scented candle. Yeah. And so there's just, we could go back and we could trace just what a crazy, weird year this has been. But I think we understand that beside just all of the weird circumstantial things, there's a spirit in our age that has been revealed, and we're seeing an increase in darkness in our world. So many of us are asking questions like, how can people be so hateful? How can people celebrate violence? How can what is clearly evil be called good and what is clearly good be called evil? Why is there so much anxiety and depression and suicide, especially among our young people? How is it that our boys think they're girls and our girls think they're boys? So we're asking these kind of questions, and I know these are complicated questions and there's no easy answer, but I will say this, there is a root problem and there is a root answer. The root problem is that the world is still under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. And the root answer is Jesus Christ. Yes. And he is the one that has come to set us free. And by the way, idolatry is very much alive in 2020. It wasn't just something that the Galatians experienced. We experience it very much today. The tricky thing about idolatry is that it's so deceptive. It's easy for us to see the idolatry in other people's lives, but it's difficult to see the idolatry in our own lives, right? Tim Keller writes this, "We think idols are bad things, but that is almost never the case. The greater the good, the more likely we are to expect that it can satisfy our deepest needs and hopes. Anything can serve as a counterfeit god, especially the very best things in life. An idol is anything more important to you than God." So, church, it's the good things in life that can turn into idols when we love them inordinately, when we start to love them more than we love the Lord. You know, the world is always, it's always vying for our attention, right? And some of this is just good old-fashioned commercialism and consumerism, but on a deeper level, the elemental spiritual forces of the world that Paul warned the Galatians about, they're still at work today and they're after you. They want to distract you from Jesus. They want you to come under oppression. John Tyson, in his book, Beautiful Resistance, and by the way, this is a book I highly recommend, Beautiful Resistance, he writes this, "Idols are the wicked fruit of disordered loves." That's what an idol is. When we start to love something inordinately, we love it more than we love the Lord. And it's heartbreaking to see how many Christ followers who seem to be perfectly content with bowing their knee to the gods of this world. Because the truth is, the thing you worship will eventually destroy you. If it's not Jesus, the thing you worship will eventually destroy you. If you worship success, eventually you reach a ceiling and you're going to burn out. If you worship money, eventually it will drive your life into a life of spiritual and moral compromises. Jesus said, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul?" Right? Appearance. Appearance is an idol. Appearance will eventually lead to a life of constant comparison and self-hatred because you'll feel like you never measure up. The idols we worship will eventually kill us. So what does this have to do with Christmas? Oh, church, it has everything to do with Christmas. Because the good news is Jesus came into the world to set us free from those elemental spiritual darknesses. Amen? He came to set us free from all of that. When Jesus came into the world, he came to set us free. So let's go back to these scriptures, to the Galatians, because I want you to underline a word, Galatians 4:3. We were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who are not gods. What's the common word there? Were. You were. In other words, you used to be. Past tense. This was what it was like before Jesus set you free. But now, you're not that way anymore. What changed? We'll go back to verse 4 again. When the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. The spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave. You are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Church, even though the world was desperately broken, the message of Christmas is God didn't give up on us. Amen? God didn't give up on us. Church, this is something to celebrate today. I love the Christmas lights, Christmas music, decorations, Christmas trees, gifts. I love it all. But don't forget what we're really celebrating here. We're celebrating Christ, because if it weren't for him, we would still be slaves. But because of Jesus Christ, we've been set free. Isaiah chapter 9 says this, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those who living in the land of the deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Jesus has set us free. Colossians 1:13 says this, he has rescued us. Everybody say rescued. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. So he has brought us, Jesus has brought us out of that darkness, out of that oppression, into his radiant glory. He's rescued us from the oppression of our enemy and set us free from bondage. He saved us from dead, dry religion and brought us into life-giving intimacy with our Father. He's delivered us from the prison of fear and anxiety and depression, and he has set us free to dance joyfully in celebration of him. Hallelujah. Not only that, he's also given us a hope and a future. Right? Go back to verse 7. You are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you're his child, God has made you also an heir. You know what that means? That means the best is yet to come. Amen? You're an heir. And so while today we live in a world that is still under so much oppression, The good news for us is that while we deal with that oppression, we confront that oppression, we are no longer subject to that oppression in the name of Jesus. Amen? We've been set free. We're not a slave. We're a son. And even better news yet, one day that oppression will be completely obliterated. And not only will we no longer be set free from it, we'll no longer even have to deal with it at all. Amen? Yeah. Because of what Jesus has done. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid for our sins. When he rose from the dead, he defeated death. He defeated our enemy, and we are today set free by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, as you celebrate this Christmas, celebrate joyfully. Celebrate the new birth that we have in Jesus Christ, and celebrate the fact that we have been set free from all oppression. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Worship team, come on up. Amen, amen, amen. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning or you're watching online, I want you to know the greatest life possible in this world is a life where Jesus Christ is the center of our hearts. Without Jesus, we're in bondage. That's what the Bible says. But Jesus has come to set us free. And so this morning, I want to give you the opportunity, whether you're here in person or you're watching online, I want to give you the opportunity, if you haven't already done this, to pray to receive Jesus Christ into your life. Or perhaps you've prayed that, you've asked Jesus into your life, but you've kind of drifted from the Lord. Your heart has gotten hardened to the things of God in some way. And you know right now, there's not that deep connection that you desire, that your heart longs for. I've got good news for you. Even times in your life where you have forgotten about the Lord, he's never forgotten about you. That's the beautiful thing about God. He hasn't given up on you, just as he didn't give up on the world and he came into the world 2,000 years ago. I want you to know Jesus has not given up on you, and he will come into your life right now if you're willing, if you will open your heart to him. So I just want to lead us in a prayer this morning. And if you want to be included in this prayer, I want to invite you to pray along with me. Pray this prayer along with me. And church, would you pray along with those that are praying to receive the Lord today? Just pray with me one sentence at a time, one phrase at a time. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come to you today. We thank you for your great grace. Thank you for setting us free. Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for me, and I believe you've risen from the dead. Lord, I need you in my life. I open the door of my heart. I invite you to come in. Lord, please forgive me of my sins. Wash them in your blood and come into my life. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Now, church, we're going to celebrate the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. We're going to celebrate the fact that that oppression, that yoke of oppression, that heaviness has been broken by Jesus Christ. Amen? And that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And we are no longer a slave. He set us free. Amen. So let's sing this morning. Let's worship the Lord.